imitating Chase there. Good evening. Y'all can do better than that. Good evening. You know, isn't it pretty cool in the midst of a beautiful weekend where y'all are probably doing the last yard work of the summer and barbecue and then having family over, that there's a place, a space where you can come and gather just to worship the Lord? Like, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this evening? All 22 of you feel that way. Hey, we have a couple things going on this weekend. It's a holiday weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. And so this is a family worship weekend, which means that the children are in the house with us. So can you just give a warm welcome to those children that are here? They are not in jam, not in middle school tonight. They're hanging out. And so, kids, we expect you to bring the energy level up in this place because the worship team from the Edge Urban Fellowship is here to lead us in worship tonight. Now, if you're newer to KCC within the last 3 years, you might not realize that it was 3 years ago we launched the Daughter Congregation. I think that was number 11 of churches that KCC has planted. And this one was unique. It's over in Grand Rapids. People refer to it as a hip-hop church. The reality is that it's a Christ-centered church that uses the venue or the vehicle of hip-hop to reach people. And I often say it this way, there are some people that the Edge reaches that might not walk through the doors of Kentwood Community Church, but they feel welcome and at home in the Edge. So tonight, as the Edge leads us in worship, I want you to welcome them warmly. Even if hip-hop is not your thing, what I need you to understand is that on Saturday nights when the Edge worships, normally people flood the front. They're up there. Now, you don't have to do this. This is out of your comfort zone. But they flood the front, their hands moving, heads bobbing. Even if they can't understand the words, they're just breaking out their old breakdance moves from back in the day and maybe from currently in the day. I just want you to encourage them as they lead us in worship. The other thing is that the Edge worship team knows that worship is not about entertainment. You know, they're not here to entertain us this weekend, but they're here to help us enter into the presence of God. And so I don't know what's on your heart tonight, what you carried in, but as you look at the lyrics, even if you can't keep up with them personally, I want you to just think about what God has done for humanity, and what they're rapping about is life-changing. And so the Edge is here. Just a couple things about the Edge as well. There's a new CD that's coming out from the Edge worship team. It'll be available at a table in the atrium after the services. So even if it is your style of music, buy four or five of them. And if it's not, buy four or five of them and give it to someone that you know loves hip-hop. And then also, we're celebrating something in the life of the Edge. They just got a new building in the Grand Rapids area. And they're going to be moving. Their opening service in the new spot near Granville and Hall is September 23rd weekend, right? September 21st, because they worship on Saturday evening. So we want to be in prayer for them as they prepare for that. So all the preliminaries are out of the way. I'd like to pray before the Edge opens us with the song and then invites us in to worshiping together. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this gathering. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us in your word that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are here in our midst. So, Lord, we welcome you into this place. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way. Move on our hearts, Lord. Surprise us, oh God, as we worship together this evening. We want everything that we say and do to be all about you. Lord, there may be someone that's here for the first time. I pray that you would overwhelm them. There may be someone, Lord, that's here for the 350th time. Lord, I pray that we would be overwhelmed by your spirit. I pray, oh God, that you would open our hearts to what it is that you want to say and do this evening through our worship experience. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Give a warm welcome to the Edge worship team.
You are life.
Yeah, yo.
Hello, KCC. Love. How you doing?
Yeah. You are life.
Well, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come here today. Worship with the brothers and sisters. If you would love to worship Jesus, could you just do one of these? Yes.
You are love, and you are hope, and you are trust, because you are
the source of life.
the universe. Came from your mouth before we knew you, Lord. You knew us first. You gave us true rebirth. Because faith in your Son will make a man a new creation and change what he's done. Everything I've done in the past, gone. Live for Christ till I pass on. Your godly providence gives me confidence to give you praise when the track comes. And I am amazed at the things that you've done. Your life and your loving and your bubble trust. You've given me hope and abundance of love. And you finished the work you've begun.
And you are love, and you are hope, and you are trust, 'cause you are life, and you are love, and you are hope, and you are trust, 'cause you are God, 'cause you are God, 'cause you are God.
What it feel like, I don't know, but I can't keep it sealed tight. I'm amazed, 'cause looking back at hindsight, I'm proof it can turn death into real life. The beginning and the end and the in between. I was guilty of my sin, but you intervened. Gave breath to the dirt, made it clean. What's not, cut it off, guillotine. Yeah, you've given me amazing grace. Gave eternity, but still no time to waste. Oh, you said that it tasted a little bit of faith. May take a little while, but it's worth the wait. And I couldn't reach you, but you came to me. You'll never change, but you change to me. Even with your shades on, still plain to see that you everything claim to be.
You are life. And you are love, and you are hope, and you are trust, 'cause you are life, and you are love, and you are hope, and you are trust, 'cause you are God, 'cause you are God, 'cause you are God, 'cause you are God.
Man, you are God. So if you're able to stand, well, you know a lot of you are already standing, but if you're able to stand, we would love for you to stand with us on this next song. It is very familiar. I think you guys will catch along. It goes like this. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God, 'cause our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Hey, man, God is awesome. So we remixed it a little bit. You guys will catch on, though.
Same song.
So we just sing that again with us. Sing it. Say,
our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is so awesome, flawless. Show you how he redeems the lawless. He brought his one son and he calls us clean indeed. We defeat the darkness. Want this gospel, 'cause it's marvelous. Resurrection, there's no need for coffins. God is highness, no contest. So I'm like that magazine I read when I digest. I'm blessed, so I talk and walk this. Only by grace I'm saved and mark this. I love blood like attraction shark skin, 'cause Christ shed blood on the cross.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Look up at the sky, yeah. I see a masterpiece. Though this life is challenging, I have the master's peace. It's hard to fathom you actually hold the galaxies and everything existing is subject to bow at your feet. I call him Yeshua, Abba, Father, my Yahweh. His love's agape, but you can call it God's grace. When it's managed, you are mindful. Psalm 8. He's not late, he'll pick us up like a prom day. Any situation, I'ma live the praise of my God. Is my inspiration. With him, there's no limitations. He took our place, so never over. Look his grace. He can save the worst sinner from his crooked ways.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
I say, you're
awesome God, you're awesome God, yeah. You're awesome God, you're awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Say it with us, say.
Cause our God is an awesome God, He reigns.
You reign
from heaven above with wisdom, with power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, with power and love. Our God is an awesome God. You're awesome God, you're awesome God, yeah. You're awesome God, you're awesome God, yeah. Awesome God, you're awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Say that again.
You're awesome God, you're awesome God, yeah. You're awesome God, you're awesome God, yeah. You're awesome God, you're awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen, give a hand clap for awesome God, because He is amazing.
Lord, we just want to thank you for your grace, Father. Your loving kindness, Father. Even when we fall away and make mistakes, Father, you're still there with your hand wide open, ready to receive us again, Father. We thank you for saving our life, Father. We thank you for the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We just sing to you.
You saved my life.
You saved my life.
Restored my soul.
You restored my soul.
You gave me life. And I'm never gonna, I'm never gonna let you go. You saved my life.
You saved my life.
Restored my soul.
You restored my
you
soul.
You gave me life. And I'm never gonna,
never gonna,
I'm never gonna let you go.
Oh Jesus, I'm feeling so blessed. This burden is lifted and this weight is off my chest. There is hope and now my soul is at rest. You remove my sin as far as the east is from the west. Yes, I can sing of your love that comes from above. You died for me, I was washed by your precious blood. You're so amazing, how could you take me, shape me, reshape me, and never forsake me? Heart, mind, and soul, giving you complete control. You take the leading role. Let your name be extolled. I know I need His word. I know I need to grow. You are God alone. Only you can make me whole. He can heal. He can break those addictions. Rich in mercy. His grace is sufficient. Your love is endless. You offer forgiveness. You said it is finished. I'm safe from sin's hitless.
You saved my life.
You saved my life.
Restored my soul.
You restored my soul.
You gave me life. And I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna let you go. You saved my life.
You saved my life.
Restored my soul.
You restored my soul.
You gave me life. And I'm never gonna, I'm never gonna let you go.
Thank you for the spirit you sent. At the very moment a sinner decides to repent. Thank you for the love that is in Jesus Christ. And now I know that I am in Him. Yeah. Thank you for the body of Christ and the perfect gift that you have placed in each one's life. Thank you that we all understand that head to toe, Jesus was way more than a man. Thank you for your ultimate plan, for your crown of thorns and the spear in your nail-pierced hands. Thank you for the cross that you died on, and that every sin that I did is forever a bygone. Thank you for the love of my life, that He goes by the last name Christ. Right? Thanks, Dad, for the love that you shared. Father God, your spirit is everywhere.
And you saved my life, restored my soul.
Sing it to Him.
You gave me life, and I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna
let you go. You saved my life.
Save my life,
restored my soul.
You restored my
soul. You gave me life, and I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna let you go.
Why me, Lord?
Why'd you choose me?
You became the curse, but they should've bruised me. I'm the real curse. You took the pain and hurt. I only love you because you love me first. You still love me when I failed and I was lost, but you took all my sin and you nailed it to the cross. Yeah. And forgave all the wrong I've done. It had to mean something if you sent your only son. We were enemies, you still had compassion. You showed me a love that's everlasting. I can't imagine this love, I can't imagine. With just us, but you love us with a passion. Yeah, became a man on the earth. The word became flesh, you're a man of the word. Yeah, you nailed your hands on the first. You died, then you went on to stand on the third.
You saved my life. Restored my soul. You gave me life, and I'm never gonna, I'm never gonna let you go. You saved my life. Restored my soul. You gave me life, and I'm never gonna,
I'm never gonna
let you go.
I'm never gonna let you go.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm never gonna let you go.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that song so true? Save my life. I mean, that's the essence of what we preach. That's what we celebrate. I remember when the Edge first opened a few years ago, and they had this tradition where if someone came to faith in Christ and experienced that gift of salvation for the first time, they had a big cross set up in the building, and they would take a bandana and tie it to the cross as a symbol of that life change. And you know that if you're a regular KCCer, we have a symbol where we know over the last 7 days, if we know of someone that has surrendered their life to Christ, we light a candle, and the candle is lit this evening. And it's an amazing story. I wish I could share all of the details, but basically, there was a grandmother on her deathbed and a granddaughter that just Googled churches and ended up calling here at KCC. And in the midst of a phone call, the question was asked of the granddaughter, well, do you have a relationship with Christ? And the granddaughter just broke down in tears. And long story short, as that grandmother in the hospital downtown lay on her deathbed, a short while after that, the granddaughter came in the room after talking with a KCCer and said, Grandma, in front of her whole family, Grandma, I need you to know I accepted Christ into my heart today. And the grandmother, who had been kind of out of it, perked up for just those few seconds, as if celebrating just years of praying for this granddaughter. So we celebrate that the candle is lit this evening because of a life that's been changed. You know, we also have another tradition where every weekend we open up these front steps and they become like an altar of prayer. And we encourage you, no matter what you're going through, if during this next song that we're led in, if you want to come and make your way to the steps for the purpose of prayer, feel free to come and kneel and do so. And it's just a time for you to do business with the Lord. And for some of you, maybe you come in with heavy hearts and you need to lay that before the Lord. For some of you, maybe there's conviction of sin and you need to lay that before the Lord. For some of you, maybe you're filled with praise and you just want to come and cry out in praise to God. Whether you're here for the first time or here because you're a regular attender, we encourage you to make your way to these steps during this song. And while you're here kneeling, someone may lay a hand on your shoulder just to encourage you that you're not alone. And after the song, or during the song, I'll pray for us all together. So won't you come as we continue worshiping?
As I can come as I am, though evil within, I am forgiven my sins. So no condemnation. No need to ask the sun why, like a PlayStation. My ways taken, broken by replacement. Given a counselor by the Father of greatness. Not worthy, I confess it. He took my transgressions and died for every single one and resurrected. What a loving Father. What a just God. If I ain't living for you, I don't want to be alive. I thirst for your truth. Shun lies. Let your will be done, Father. Watch me crush mine. Dear Heavenly Savior, I thank you. Sent here so I could be one with my Creator. Praise to my Savior. Praise to my Savior. Sent here so I could be one with my Creator. The slain lamb, great man, I'm alive and dead to this world, always trying to keep me blinded. Never that, I'm knocking out temptation from the get-go. Two-piece my flesh like I'm Rocky Marciano. Matter of fact, Mike Tyson in the first round. Call me Waldo, cause I was once lost, now found. It's only by the blood of Jesus I'm in front of you. Words can't explain how much I love you. I'm gone.
As a child, I had numerous rejections. Heard of a crucifixion and a resurrection. The truest love and through his blood is finally acceptance. His name is Jesus Christ. He laid his life down. Took the beatings, took the whips, wore the spike crown. He's alive now. I surrender right now. If I ain't spitting for his glory, I'ma put this mic down. Lord, you're a father to the fatherless. No need for Mari, cause I know who my father is. The DNA is in the blood that covered me. and you came to give us life abundantly. You breathe life, call it open nasals. You keep me stable when your servant's unstable. And if I can't, I know that you are able. When I'm unfaithful, you remain faithful. You give grace, but it didn't come from the law. Came to earth to save sinners, not to judge our flaws. Had to mean something if you hung up on the cross. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that covered once for all. With this man that you are mindful of him, that you would still die for me when I was blind full of sin. Jesus, you paid the cost for me. My sin was erased. Control, alt, delete.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great gift of salvation, Lord. Because, God, we know that we don't deserve it, but you were willing to give it to us. You're willing to lay down your life so that we could experience eternal life with you. God, I thank you and I praise you just for the opportunity we get just to gather here this evening and celebrate that gift, Lord. And God, I know that there are some that are here that are heavily burdened, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you would lift those burdens right now and that you would fill people with your spirit in such a way, Lord, that we would know that we can face every trial, every storm, anything that life throws at us because of your power and your majesty and your might working through us. So God, I pray that you would change lives right now, Lord. There are some that come with health concerns and financial concerns, oh God. There are some that have relational concerns, God. There are some that just carry great emotional and physical burdens, Lord. Whatever they are, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would change those situations, that you would change hearts, that you would change people from the inside out, even right now, oh Lord. And then, Lord, I know that there are others that are here that are filled with praise and gratitude, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you once again. Hallelujah, Lord, because you've been so good to me over the past week. And God, I just join them in praising you. God, you are an awesome, mighty, wonderful God. God, we ask that you would continue to reveal yourself in new and wonderful ways throughout the remainder of this worship service, Lord, and throughout the rest of our lives. We want to be people who are solely devoted to you, oh Lord. So we pray all of this. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. As you return to your seats, we'll continue to be led in worship.
Amen. We're just gonna come before God. This song is really easy. The chorus just goes, I know my Savior lives and he reigns forevermore. So if you believe that Jesus died, that he raised, you could just sing this with us, worship him.
Let's go.
I know my Savior lives,
and he reigns forevermore.
Sing it so,
cause I know my Savior lives,
and he reigns
forevermore.
They put him on the cross, in a grave for 3 days. He showed us how to behave, be praised. Christ the Lord, that's why I sing this song. Cause Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I'm gonna sing it forever because he saved me and he resurrected.
It's like, what?
It's the love that's perfected cause he died and he cried for my sins and my pride. And he was crucified even though I was blind. I was trying to hide in this darkness of mine.
But his light and his shine,
it came from the sun that is God that I tried to deny. Who it rose from the grave, ascended on high. I have hope to be saved, put faith in my God. Because of my faith I will raise when I die. And he told me to pray for the saints and the lives. And I know
my Savior lives,
and he reigns,
you reign
forevermore. Cause I know
my Savior lives,
and he reigns,
you reign
forevermore. You know the story, but it gets better. Every time we tell it, let's get it embedded into our hearts and into our minds, our lifestyles, and right now it's into my rhymes. It's the resurrection of Jesus. Freedom rings loud, kinda like the 4th of July or the Liberty Bell. I was gonna see hell through the enemy well, but Christ was my remedy pill. Because he came into the world just as a babe, 100% God, if any. Body believes he died and he rose and ascended up to the throne. And believe you have hope and believe and receive it. He's all that you need and you're feeding to Jesus. He was there bleeding the cross that was costly. His life was an offering of hope that was placed in my life at the altar, the rock that is stronger than rock of Gibraltar, the awesome and flawless, extremely enormous Father who gave up his son as atonement, but raised him right up like the sun in the morning, the sun of the morning, defeated, repeated again and again, the devil is defeated. Yes, yeah. Cause I know my Savior lives,
my Savior lives, my Savior lives,
and he reigns,
you reign
forevermore.
He is risen.
Cause
I know
my Savior lives, my Savior lives, and he reigns,
you reign
forevermore. Now sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You reign.
You reign.
We sing, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
We sing, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
We sing, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
You reign.
You reign.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You reign.
Worthy.
We sing, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
We sing, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
And you reign.
You reign.
I know my Savior lives.
I know.
My Savior lives.
My Savior lives. My Savior lives.
And he reigns.
You reign.
Amen, God.
Amen. Amen. Before you are seated, why don't you turn, and if you're already seated, stand up. Turn to a few folks around you and just greet them. And if you can say it truly, say, I would come if the worship was like this every weekend. I would still come to KCC. See? Thank you. My background music. That's the turning green music. So, I gotta borrow a family news here. Can I borrow yours? When you came in this evening, each of you should have received a family news. And hopefully, if you got one, you know that in a moment, we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings, and when those plates come around, we can celebrate now if you want. We'll celebrate again in a moment. When the plates come around, you can see that this family news is already missing its communication card because we encourage you to fill it out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, unless you're here for the very first time. So if you're a first-time guest, I encourage you to hold on to the card, take it out to KCC Central, after the service where they have a special gift just as a way of saying thank you to you for joining us for worship this weekend. And if you came in late, just a reminder, the kids are in with us this weekend, so we are celebrating that. This is a family worship weekend. And so we'll be receiving our offerings in just a few moments. Just a couple of announcements for you. In the family news, there is this this thing here that says The Small World. It's a promo card for our fall sermon series and life group curriculum. And I want you to just tune into this promo video real quick, and then I'll say a couple words about it in terms of how you can get connected into a life group for the fall. Check out this promo video. right. So you may be saying, what is that all about? Well, next weekend, 4 weeks, we're starting a sermon series called Small World. And we're jumping back into the story. If you've been with us this year, you know that in January, we started using a product by Zondervan. It's called The Story. It's taking the Bible and it's put it into easily readable chapters, 36 chapters. And it's a summary or a paraphrase of scripture that takes the overarching story. And we as a church have been walking through that throughout the year. We took the summer off, but we're jumping back in to what would be the New Testament next week. And for 4 weeks, what we're looking at are the cross-cultural implications of the gospel. The fact that the gospel includes everyone and breaks down stereotypes, and there's intentionality that we see in the life of Christ to reach people that are different than the norm. And ultimately, as we understand that, we understand who we really are, our true identity as creatures of God. And so we're encouraging you, every KCCer, to get into a life group for 4 weeks. There's a way to sign up after the services out in the atrium. You may be someone that says, I've tried small groups before and it didn't work out for me because the people were weird. Well, hopefully you end up with a different group of people this time. But we have invested some time and energy. Your generous giving has helped to create our own video resources. And so for 4 weeks, I just encourage you, give it a try. So check it out after the services tonight, and you can find out more information in terms of how to get in the life group for the next 4 weeks. The first sermon will be next weekend, and then subsequent week would be when you would meet with your life group for the first time. Is that something that you think you can do for me? Amen? If you're able? Amen? All right. All right, good. Well, in a moment, I want to invite the ushers forward to receive this evening's tithes and offerings, and we celebrate that here at KCC. We celebrate it because the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And so no one should give out of a sense of obligation. It should all be giving from the overflow of our hearts. God does not need our money, but God certainly delights in the fact that we would give back of what God has given us. As I mentioned earlier, you know, the giving that you do regularly, it goes to support a number of things around here. Obviously, I mentioned the Small World DVD resources. We don't say it often enough, but the staff here thanks you for your generous giving. Obviously, it's your staff that pays our salaries, but even the programming that we do, as we prepare to go into the Wyoming community in just 5 short weeks with the Wyoming campus, we know that it's because of your generous giving that we're able to do that, and we'll be able to do it in such a way that we'll be able to reach people who are far from the Lord. So I'd just like to pray before the ushers come forward, and then the Edge will be leading us, or will be doing a song, a worship song for us during the offering, and then I'll come up and preach the message. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your generous gifts in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided. Lord, even this weekend, as I think about folks that are completing the 60-day tithing challenge that was going on over the summer, Lord, I've just delighted in the stories that I've heard of how you connected with people in a powerful way as they just surrendered another area of life to you. God, I pray that we would all be people who can give generously of what you've given us. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the opportunity to give back. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified as we give back now what you've given us. Lord, I pray that we would truly be able to give back with an attitude of joy and cheer. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Ushers, won't you come forward to assist us in this act of worship?
Walls moving in, and I don't understand why they keep moving in. Man, they ain't my friend, and the pain won't go away. One arm on one wall, one arm on the other wall, arms wall, try to push out. But I know that I don't have the strength to get out. Man, I gotta get out. And I know that the scene got me grappled like a linebacker making a tackle. Can't hack it, since stacking up so high that I can't see the sky. My life in shambles, and I know that my eternity's a gamble. Why scramble like a quarterback running from a hit with no O-line? My mind lost in a place so confusing and abusing. No trace for what I hope in. My life seems like twin towers smoking. Reopen the alcohol. Take one more hit, then I hit the wall and fall. Wait, what's that? I hear something on the walls. They're moving, but I know it ain't me, cause I know I'm not strong enough. But they're moving, and I can't ever reach, and my arms aren't long enough. So I feel this pull on the walls above, and I lift my head to see just what is the force that's causing the walls to budge. Now I understand it's the God of love. I look up in the sky and see two hands pulling out the walls for me. It's Jesus. How I could tell, cause there's holes in the hands where they put them nails. I fall to the ground and ball, cause I know that I'm not worthy at all. And y'all, the holy cross is now what stands in between those walls. Nothing can crush me now, I'm with God. By grace through faith, I'm saved and meet God. I'm brought out of the pit, it's legit. I'm safe in the grave, that's it. I feel like I could breathe, like I could see, like I could fly. It's real, and now I see the light, and He is Jesus Christ. He's here, He healed me from my past and all my sin within. Don't fear, He promised that He'd take care of all His kin. And you can be His kin if you just choose Him over all this worldly sin. Repent and be cleansed, and believe in Him. And believe in Him.
Good. Can y'all give it up one more time for The Edge? There's so many positive things that I could say about how God is utilizing that ministry to reach people in the city of Grand Rapids. And just encourage you, some Saturday night, that's when they have their sessions, 6 o'clock p.m., you have permission to go and check out The Edge, especially as they move into that new building in a few weeks. Just get out of your comfort zone. You know, it reminds me of a story. There's a church in Tampa Bay, Florida. Urban D is the pastor's name, Tommy Kailonen. And when Tommy tells the story of how he became the senior pastor of that church, it's one of those deals where he was the youth pastor, and he was using hip-hop to reach young people for Christ, and the youth group kept growing. And then the senior pastor of the church ended up resigning to go do something else. And so they hired another senior pastor. And the youth group kept growing, but that senior pastor resigned and went to go do something else. And the youth group kept growing. They hired another senior pastor. And eventually that senior pastor resigned. They said, Tommy, why don't you come and be the senior pastor of the church? Because by that time, the youth group was bigger than the main congregation. And he said, well, hey, you got to understand, if I'm going to come and be the senior pastor, we're going to use hip-hop to reach people. And they've done that, and it's a church of over 1,000 people down there in Tampa Bay, and it's doing great. And on Sunday morning, you'll see old people, young people, a diverse group of people coming, and there'll be turntables on the stage, and they're using hip-hop as a vehicle. So for those of you that might think, I could never see that, and I could never see me worshiping in a church like that every week, be careful what you say you would never do. God uses all possible means to reach all people who need to hear the life-changing message of Christ. Amen? All right, so this evening we wrap up our four-week sermon series called Collide. I just caught myself. I said this evening. See, I'm in this learning curve for those that are paying attention, because our Saturday night sermon is going to be used for Sunday morning when we get to Wyoming in a few weeks. So I have to drop language like this evening, because I don't want them to feel like they're not a part of what's going on here. But we are wrapping up week 4 of the Collide sermon series. And we have dealt with some tough topics in this series, and it's been a good series. And I don't say that because I think I've been preaching well. I say that because the questions that have come up and the dialogue that has happened around the topics we've dealt with has been amazing. Week 1 of the series, we talked about engaging people in tough conversations about homosexuality. And week 2, we talked about where is God in the midst of tragedy. And then last week, we talked about immigration of all things and what the Bible has to say about welcoming the stranger. And so tonight, as we talk about collide, the whole premise of the series has been there are issues in our culture where it seems like a biblical worldview crashes into what the culture says. And so this weekend, this sermon is all about how the culture tells us that we should keep our faith to ourselves, and that doesn't seem to line up with what the Bible tells us. The culture tends to say, look, to each his own. Your faith may be true for you, but what's for other people, there may be something else that's true. And yet what Scripture seems to say is, oh, it's time to share what you have been changed by with others. And so I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to turn to the book of Romans. You'll be in Romans chapter 10. This whole concept of keep your faith to yourself. Keep it to yourself. And you put a little question mark at the end of that. If you've got a family news, just write a question mark, because that should have been there. The idea of keeping your faith to yourself. We want to examine that through the lens of Scripture. And just to kind of set things up for you, there's a little video I just want to play. Earlier this year, I was interviewed by PBS. They were here in our church because how many of you were aware that last year in Grand Rapids, it was the year of interfaith dialogue? Raise your hand if you knew that, that 2012 was the year of interfaith dialogue. Some of you did. And in this video, there'll be three people, myself, a Muslim woman from the community, and a professor from Grand Valley State University. And the professor from Grand Valley is a Christ follower, but he's promoting this idea that if we can get together in interfaith dialogue and talk, which sounds good, that we can experience a certain kind of peace. And then you'll hear what the woman has to say, and then you'll hear what I say, and then I'll preach the message. So tune into this short video as we set up our time together.
Grand Rapids, in some ways, should be a model city for a nation that is seeking interfaith understanding. I've read about the Pluralism Project in Boston and about the book, How Did America, the Most Christian Nation, Become the Most Diverse Nation? And, you know, Boston is not a model for the nation. If you want a model for the nation, it's going to look more like Grand Rapids. It's going to be predominantly Christian. It's going to be predominantly conservative. But it's going to be a community that is becoming more and more diverse. And if we can make this kind of thing happen in Grand Rapids, then I think that can be a model for it happening in other communities and really a model for the nation. Thin dialogue is where you try to get people to narrow their faith commitment down so thin that they can agree with everybody else. Karen Armstrong says all religions are basically compassion. Hans Kung says all religions are basically the golden rule. And there's a place for that. There's a place for seeing where the commonality is. But in this community, with the strong religious traditions and strong religious commitments on in part of individuals and organizations, we've talked about thick interfaith dialogue. Bring the thickness of your faith to the table. Talk about all that you believe. Don't see how thin you can make your belief, but talk about the thickness of your belief. But do it in a spirit of understanding and of willingness to the other person to bring their thickness of their faith to it as well.
The last 2 years, we've had a study group, and then we met with another group of just a book reading group, and they happened to be Christian women and Jewish women. And so we started something that's called the Sisters of Faith Club. And so we meet once a month, and we discuss ideas, and we have speakers, and we read different books. And that's just an amazing sort of a camaraderie there. It seems to me that no matter what you believe, it all comes out to be the same. Our dreams, our hopes, our fears are all the same. So it really, there's no separation then. Once you come to that level, that you start talking in these tones, then there is no separation. Then we all connect right away.
I think there is a danger with going overboard in interfaith dialogue. There's great potential for universalism, where we begin to believe that all roads lead to the same place. The reality is that if you would talk to major religious leaders, Jesus makes some exclusive claims that can kind of muddy the waters when it comes to interfaith dialogue. And so I often tell people, don't blame me for the claims that Jesus made. He said things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
I don't know if you caught what was going on there, but you've got on the one hand someone saying get together and talk, You've got someone else saying, when we get together and talk, we realize it's all the same when you boil it down. And then you hear some bald head guy on there talking about Jesus made some exclusive claims. And what I want to dive into in Romans 10 has to do with, you know, this idea of, are we called to share these exclusive claims of Jesus? And is there anything unique about these exclusive claims of Jesus? Because what the culture tends to say is that Jesus is one of many ways, but it seems like what the Bible says is that Jesus is the only way to experience salvation. And the tension, obviously, in a video like that and in our culture then is like, man, if I believe that, well, then what are the implications for other people that don't believe the same things that I believe? Romans 10, 1 to 4, let's dive in. It says, brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to a community of Christians. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Romans 10 is a section of scripture that may be one of the richest texts in scripture. I don't say that flippantly. There's some deep stuff in here. And what Paul starts off by saying is that his heart's desire for the Israelites, the people that would have been culturally religious, the people that were able to walk through kind of like checklists of faith, do this, don't do that, do this and don't do that, and that will demonstrate your commitment to God. He's saying, my deepest desire for them and my prayer is that they would be saved. And he says that they're zealous about their religious practices. Maybe you know some folks like this. They're zealous about going to church. They're zealous about church activities. They're zealous even maybe about reading the Bible. Maybe you know folks like this, but when it comes right down to it, you look at their life and you say, I don't know if that person is saved. I don't know if they've entered into a relationship with Jesus. And so Paul's saying they're zealous, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Because they didn't know the righteousness of God, and so they sought to establish their own. And what he's referring to is that even though if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll see that there were laws that were written that people that followed God were supposed to follow. And he's saying that the Israelites have taken those laws and made more laws to try and pump up their own righteousness, and their righteousness is not based on what God has established now. He says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who does what? Believes. The point I want to make just from that part of the text is that Christ's followers, like people who follow Jesus, and there are some Christ followers here in our midst tonight, should reflect a desire to see people saved. Like that's supposed to just be a part of our DNA. If you're a follower of Christ, you have this deep desire to see people saved. Now, we can talk about what it means to be saved in a moment, but there's this picture of like whenever you wake up in the morning, from the time your feet hit the floor, while you might have a number of other things on your mind, when your feet hit the floor, it's got to be this mindset of, God, will you use me today to help someone experience salvation? Now, you might say, Pastor Kyle, I got other fish to fry. My marriage is in trouble. My finances are tight. I got a business to run. I've got children to raise. You're trying to tell me that from the time I hit the floor every day that I'm supposed to be thinking about somebody else getting saved? And the answer is yes. Deep desire that the Israelites would be saved. Our passion, our desire as Christ followers should be that people would be saved. You know, in that PBS video, part of the reason I even got interviewed was because I was supposed to represent the voice of a church that chose not to participate in the interfaith dialogue. We didn't. We didn't actively invite an imam from a mosque to come and speak here at KCC last year. We didn't go to some of the dinners where there were Jews and Christians and Muslims dialoguing together. I chose not to participate in that. It's not because I think that it's just fundamentally wrong. I just felt like from a stewardship of time perspective, I've got a limited amount of time each day, and my deepest desire is that people would be saved. I don't necessarily want to sit around having a bunch of dialogue trying to figure out what we have more in common than what we have different. I know that when you boil it down, we don't have everything in common. Christ made some exclusive claims. Now, I could have delegated that to someone and asked someone else to participate. That's why I say I don't fundamentally disagree. I'm just saying that for me, my heart's passion is that I want to encounter lost people that need to know the truth of Christ, and I want to point them to the Savior, the one that rescues, the one that saves. I want to lead a congregation where people are passionate every morning from the time they wake up saying, God, give me some kingdom assignments today. Lord, give me some opportunities today to encounter someone that is lost, that is far from you. Whether it be when I'm on social media and Facebook, or whether it be when I'm out walking about in a grocery store, Lord, just give me an opportunity. Do you pray that way? Like, do you ask God daily to help me, help you to find someone that needs to hear the truth of Christ? I mean, just think about the rest of your weekend and think about the week that lies ahead. You know your calendar. You know the appointments that lie before you. You know the family members that you'll be with for the cookout tomorrow, and you know which ones are not Christ followers. And I would even challenge you further. If as you think about the barbecue tomorrow, the cookout, or on Monday, if you can't think about anyone around that table who's not a Christ follower, maybe you need to expand your invite list tonight. Hey, maybe you need to invite someone to dinner that's outside the family that just needs to hear the truth about a Savior. Because every day we wake up, it ought to be, Lord, I have this deep desire to see people saved. So our feet, from the time they hit the floor, should be concerned about this. Now, Paul goes on in verse 5 to say, Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. This is not all that deep. It seems deep because it's bigger words, but the Old Testament was all about the law. If you do these things, this is what he says, the person who does these things will live by them. That was the code of ethics in the Old Testament. The person who does these things, the law, will live by them. You live by the law. That was how you got right standing with God. That was what righteousness was all about. He said, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You might say, what is he talking about? Well, maybe these pictures of the mountain climber and the scuba diver can give you a sense of what he's talking about. What Paul is suggesting is that when it comes to righteousness, right standing with God by faith, this is like fundamental stuff of the gospel. Little kids and adults need to know this. If you want to be in right standing with God, it's not about what you do. It's not about trying to do great exploits for God. It's not about great accomplishments or accomplishing great deeds of faith. That's not what gets you in right standing with God. He's saying righteousness comes by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the fact that God is who God says he is, that Christ is who Christ claimed to be. And that's what we live by. For all of you sports fans out there, you know that Tim Tebow is a professional football player. And he got cut today from the New England Patriots. And when he was cut, you know, I loved what he said. He talked about the fact that he was on the cut bubble. They knew that he might get cut from the team. And they asked him after last Thursday's game, they said, how does it feel being on the bubble, knowing that you could be cut by Saturday? Like in the next 48 hours, you could be let go from this team. And I love what he said. He said, I live a blessed life. And he said, I've been trained and I've been taught that I don't worry about my future because I know who holds my future. You know, he's like, I know Christ. I know who holds my future. I don't have to get caught up in what the media says or what my next team might be. I am at peace. The fact is, he got cut today and he doesn't know what's next for his football career. And you say, well, it's easy for him to have peace because he has millions of dollars. No, it's easy for him to have peace because he knows the one who gives peace. peace, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knew that peace. He knew that peace even before he had millions of dollars. And that peace that we can experience as Christ followers, it comes through faith. It's not about accomplishing great deeds of faith. It's about knowing the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, as Scripture says. It's about knowing the one who gives peace, joy, hope, and redemption. This is a good old-fashioned message about the one who is the King and why we should tell other people about the King. If you want to know my agenda tonight, my agenda is simply this: that you would leave here more inspired to share with others what Christ has done in your life than you were from the time you walked in the door. Isn't it ironic that on Labor Day weekend, a weekend where we celebrate the economic and the social impact of workers, that we're talking about a faith that is all about not what you do, not what you work for, but all about what's already been done for you and I on the cross, and this righteousness, this right standing that we can attain with God comes through faith in that act? Now, Paul goes on to say, he unpacks it a little bit more in verse 8. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He said, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. You'll be what? Saved. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. This is a man that has been persecuted, that's been beaten, that's been imprisoned, that's writing these words, that I've never been put to shame. He says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What Paul is speaking to is that when we have internal convictions about something, it should lead to verbal confessions of faith. When the culture says, keep your faith to yourself, what's true for you may not be true for someone else. Paul and Scripture are saying, no, if there's something that's been changed on the inside, then you can't just keep it on the inside. It has to come to the outside. Like, so every day, every opportunity to see someone who's drowning in sin, we ought to be people who are eager to see people get saved. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor Kyle, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Just wait. See what Paul says. You say, Pastor Kyle, I can't proselytize at work. Like, if I proselytize and try and share my faith at work, I could get a lawsuit against me. I could get fired for harassment. I want you to just think about it for a moment. He says that if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from death. Eternal death, eternal separation from God. Saved from what? Saved from worry in the trials of this life. Saved from what? Saved from unrest when storms come your way. Like, you'll have peace, you'll have hope, you'll have eternal life, and you're telling me that you want to keep that news to yourself? And Paul was willing to go to prison for it? And you're worried about getting fired from your job? You're worried about what others might think? You say, Pastor Kyle, don't make me feel guilty. Just like I said in the video, don't blame me, blame Paul. Because look at what he says next. He just got done saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. That means everyone, right? Everyone. Not just rich people, not just poor people, not just black people, or not just white people, or not just Asian people, not just one group of people. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then look at what he says. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And you're thinking, that's your job. No, that's not just my job. Oh, that's all of us. And he says, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? You know, you think about someone that says, I don't want people preaching to me. And then you think about what the word says, that we're called to go and preach this news of transformation, this news of life change. Whether you're a young person or an old person, you've been sent to preach the good news of Christ. You may not have the gift of public speaking, but if God has done something for you, you're called to share it. And he goes on to say, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That means you may think that your story is too tainted, that you've been too messed up, that there's too much stuff in your past, and yet Scripture calls you beautiful if you bring good news. You may have had people tell you your whole life that you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, but if your life has been changed by Christ, you've been called beautiful by the word of God if you bring good news. You may not think much of yourself. You look in the mirror and you see shame and guilt and doubt and all these things, and yet Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And he says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I want you to just piece it together so far. Every day, our desire should be that people would get saved. People get saved when they call on the name of the Lord, when they confess with their mouths that Christ is Lord, and they believe in their hearts that God raised them from the dead. That's how people get saved. Our desire is that people would get saved. We know how people get saved. And then Paul hits us again and says, but the only way that people can call on the name of the Lord is if someone goes and shares the words about Christ. And so the question thus far is, no matter what you've walked through all week, how have you done when it comes to sharing the words of Christ? All of us need to do that self-examination. This is not a condemning kind of message. This is a message that says, hey, we got work to do. Right, the whole reason we go and launch a Wyoming campus has to do with that stat of 70,000 people in Wyoming, 35,000 of them lost. You say, really? Half the community? That's what the studies say. 35,000 of them? You say, what are the numbers for Kentwood? What are the numbers for Grand Rapids? What are the numbers for the world? The numbers don't matter. Have you shared Christ with one over the last week? Are you getting a little uncomfortable? I hope so. Because we can come and we can worship and have a good time, and this is cool. I love this, but I need you to know even more than this. I would desire to see people that are passionate about inviting people to get to know the one that changed my life, Jesus. Now, I'm going to do a little advertisement here. We have a class called Alpha. How many of you have ever taken Alpha? Raise your hand if you've ever taken the Alpha course. A few of you. Alpha is designed to be a safe place for people to explore Christianity, to explore these truths. We do it in the fall. We do it in the winter. It's starting up again in like 12 days. There's food provided. There's a meal every week. And it just is a safe place. You can tell your friends, they can come and be as antagonistic as they want as they wrestle with questions about faith. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? What's he got to do with my life? Who is the Holy Spirit? Why should I read and study the Bible? And what about this whole faith thing? And I just want to encourage you, Alpha is starting. And Alpha is one of those classes where people get an opportunity on more than one occasion to surrender their lives to Christ. And if you know someone, which I hope you know someone who is far from the Lord, Alpha's the place to invite them to. It's here at the church. Did I mention there's food provided every week? Did I say there's food provided every week? Like, you can eat every week. There's a team of people that prepare food every week. But don't just come for the food. The curriculum is excellent. And the team of leaders are eager for you to sign up and come. Alpha is one of those things that has been a staple around here at KCC. Some of you don't realize that back when I was a congregant, as an engineer, one of the first volunteer opportunities I had was teaching in Alpha. And I loved it. I loved teaching in there because the light bulb would go on for some people for the very first time. Because here's the reality I think Paul is trying to get us to realize in those last verses. People die. People die when we don't share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Like people really do die, eternal death. All of us die physical death, right? There's no immortals amongst us. All of us will die a physical death. But what Scripture speaks about pretty clearly is that if a person dies and they've heard the truth but rejected it, the consequences are dire. Our job is to keep sharing again and again and again. You say, what if I get annoying, Pastor Kyle? I'm not telling you to be annoying. I'm telling you to be compassionate. If you saw somebody about to get hit by a bus, about to drown in a swimming pool, you would not just stand by and do nothing. Our culture says, keep your faith to yourself. Scripture says, how can they know unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone preaches? Heavenly Father, I know that this message is pretty basic. You've called us to share something good with the world. And Lord, I know that there's some of us that share more about what's going on in the entertainment world, in the media, with others than we share about Christ. There's some of us, Lord, when our feet hit the floor first thing in the morning each week, we're more concerned about the latest news feed on Facebook, the latest ticker on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, the latest headlines in the newspaper. We're more concerned about those things than we are about taking in your word in preparation for whatever kingdom assignment you may have for us. Lord, I'm so glad on this Labor Day weekend that it's not about what I do or what I work for, but it's all about the relationship that you've made available. And I pray, Lord, that our congregation, along with any other congregation around the world that's proclaiming the name of Jesus this weekend, will be people that are more passionate at the close of the weekend than we were at the start about helping people experience life in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on Saturday night, what we do is we take questions. And before The Edge comes back out to lead us in a song that speaks to the heart of The Edge and really speaks to the message I just shared, if you have a question about this message, write it down on a piece of paper, slip it in the air. I just want to affirm you as a church family. The questions, as I said last week and at the start of this message, the questions during this series have been phenomenal. I mean, they've been tied to the message, and I just affirm you in that, because sometimes we get questions that are more obscure. But the questions tied to these messages have been great. So if you have any tonight, the ushers are available to pick them up. I think there's one that's coming. And I'm going to invite The Edge back out here just as I answer this one question, the worship team from The Edge. And if there are others, just slip them in the air. Thank you, ma'am. All right, this one says, I tell you, why can't I get a serious question? It says, your feet may be beautiful, but not those shoes. You know what? I didn't even mention Michigan football tonight in the sermon. And even though the season started. And I would tell you the score if it wasn't for the fact that one man in the front said he is recording it and he don't want to know the score yet because he's going to watch it later. So don't any of you blurt out the score. But, there's another one coming here. My shoes, in my opinion, are reflective of the best college football team in the country. I'm just saying. What if we talk about God and people refuse to hear it? Now, that's a really good question. And Scripture speaks to it, by the way. Oh, there's one more coming. You know, there is a passage of Scripture where Jesus tells the disciples that if they enter a town and people don't want to receive what they have to offer, if people don't want to take them in, people don't want to demonstrate hospitality, shake the dust off their feet, and keep on moving. Now, the reality for most of us is that the people that we're sharing Christ with, it's not like we're going into their town and we're only there for a short time and then we're moving on. You know, that's just not the way our culture functions. The reality is that there are people that we tend to rub shoulders with more than once. And my encouragement is that if people don't listen, if they refuse to listen, if they're like, I don't want to hear that gospel stuff, well, you pray for them, number one, but you're praying for God to open up another door of opportunity for you to share. I certainly have friends in my life that are not Christ followers that I've shared the truth of Christ with more than once. And I would encourage you, prayer is powerful. Be persistent in prayer. Be more persistent in prayer than you are with your desire to talk to people. You want to talk to God about people even more than you talk to people about God. I brought my grandchildren and family. What does that say? And young people, the day we were talking about homosexuality, they said, God forgives our sins. True, but I said, they can't do wrong and think it's okay to do wrong things and then say, forgive me. I try or need help trying to help them understand. The kids are 11 to 21 years old. They need to know the Lord, and I'm trying, but not getting them all they need. And it lists some names to pray for and a phone number. And I just want to encourage that person that wrote the letter there. That's something we all can be praying about. You know, the reality is this. When it comes to that specific topic of homosexuality, 50 years ago, that conversation would have been strictly a moral issue. It's been reframed for this generation. It's been reframed as a justice issue, right? So if you don't allow gay couples to marry, if you don't allow gay couples the same rights and privileges as traditional married couples, then somehow you're being unjust. And how does that line up with your Christianity? So it's been repackaged, but that doesn't change the fact that biblically, it's still a moral issue. And it's an issue that everywhere it's brought up in Scripture is brought up as being offensive to God. Now, as I try to preach in the message 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we're called to recognize that we're all sinners in need of God, but that doesn't keep us from proclaiming the truth about sin. And so I agree with the note. You can't just be a premeditated sinner, right, and think that that's just okay with God. Case in point, in the Old Testament, if you killed someone intentionally, like premeditated, the punishment was death. Now, if you killed someone by accident, the punishment was to flee to what was called a city of refuge. And so sometimes we just kind of say, well, all sins are the same. Don't say that too quickly. And you say, oh, you're messing with me now, Kyle. I'm just saying, read Scripture. Premeditated murder in the Old Testament, penalty was death. Accidental death, I guess what we call manslaughter in our culture, you got to live, but you had to flee to a different city. We tend to say, oh, it's all the same. I don't know if that lines up with Scripture, and we could explore that more some other week. But no, with any sin, if you just think, well, I'll just go sin and God will forgive me, that's what's called taking the grace of God for granted. And what Scripture says is God will not be mocked. Like, you can't just mock God and just expect that God's just going to keep on doing what you and your neat little box think that God is going to do. It's a tough truth, but I think it lines up with Scripture. I want to invite The Edge out. They're going to lead us in a song that I believe is the theme song for The Edge Urban Fellowship, and it ties in well with what we were talking about tonight. So they're coming on out. I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, with this closing song. And after this song is done, you will be dismissed. We'll see you next weekend. Oh, wait. Are y'all doing it? Was that a mistake? Oh, it's coming. Okay.
Reach, stretch, go to the end. God has touched you, now be used to teach them. Suppress your selfish desires. Come so close to the sun that the flesh that hinders you sets on fire, and you burn with passion for the only one who can take you higher and higher and higher and higher. Fulfilling your purpose requires you searching beyond the surface. Unused salt of the earth is worthless. It's time to introduce him to a father that won't pass down generational curses. It's for certain that he's worth it. So consume, store, absorb so much of his spirit until it's seeping out your pores. The only weapon you need is the sword. Remember, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Heaven is your reward. Get on one accord. Don't try to take credit for what is not yours. You're a carrier of his good, like a cart at the grocery store. Don't try to afford the already paid cost. Just dig, seek, speak up. There's a reason why they're called the lost. Come out of the shell that embodies you and let that inside show. It could be the only light they've seen, so don't assume that they already know. Turn your face to the light, receive the water of life so he can pour down on their life so they can then start to grow. They're not listening. They're not hearing me. The only thing that forms in my mind is so what? Do you just stop there? Once you come to realize that life is not fair, yeah, life is not fair. The other team is big, but we got Christ as our star player. Bow your head in prayer. Say, Lord, I thank you for your favor. Please protect me from all hurt, harm, and danger. Let your actions be my actions. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let me never forget about you dying upon that cross. Lord, I thank you for rising on that third day. In my heart, you'll always have a place to stay. You be my mouthpiece. I'll say what you say. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I've sinned. You were there for me in the beginning. You caught me when I was stuck in the middle, and I will follow you to the end. Amen. Now listen, it's time to live on the edge. I'm not talking about quick deals, cheap thrills, or behavior known as negligent. I'm talking E, evangelism, D, discipleship, G, growth, E, empowerment. He is our archer, men. We are his bow. When he lines us up, it's time that we go. Speak to someone that you feel nobody cares to know. Now go, catch, teach, and sow. Focus in, confess in sin as we draw nigh to the end, Christians. We are fishes of men. Cast for him, because there's room for many more. Now go.
So the EDGE is actually an acronym, and it stands for evangelism, discipleship, growth, and empowerment. So this song goes like this. It goes, first we bring them in, then we sit them down, then we build them up, then we send them out.
Got it?
Please participate with us. Put your hands up like this and say, first we bring them in, then we sit them down, then we build them up, and then we send them out. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, yeah, we're living on the edge. Cause first we bring them in, then we sit them down, then we build them up, and then we send them out. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, yeah, we're living on the edge. Listen. We're on the edge like we're standing on a knife blade. Christ on the cross, that's the meaning of a life change. His life for yours, see it might change. There's one way to God, make sure you got the right faith. I'm reborn, you can say that I was twice made. Oh me died like them creatures in the ice age. Discipling and learning the truth. Call now, one, God's burning the booth. Sees grabbing MCs who would rap for themselves. Rewires their desires by the spirit who dwells. And their hearts jump start, it's the spirit who helps. So without him we're shouting our rhymes for ourselves. But with him we're spitting, we're praising the king. So we spit like llamas trying to bring God glory on the mic. Let the glory of the Christ shine brighter than the lights when we're trying to sing.
First we bring him in, then we sit him down, then we build him up, and then we send him out. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, y'all, we're living on the edge. Cause first we bring him in, then we sit him down, then we build him up, and then we send him out. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, we're living on the edge, y'all, we're living on the edge. Time to let Christ shine.
We do the Lord's work if it means a flat lifeline. Best believe we praise him daytime and nighttime. I write rhymes to glorify my king. I let his light shine. We living on the edge. It's time to go to work. We bring them in and sit them down so they can know the word. We build them up and send them out. Keep Jehovah first. Faith in Christ has got my boys on a growing spurt. This how it's supposed to be. We supposed to sow the seed. Spread the gospel to the streets and take it overseas. Christ beat death. Matter of fact, he holds the keys. The goal is to save a lot, no groceries. take it to the hood, go to the burbs. We don't know what you heard, but Christ rose on the third. Yeah, this lost souls on this earth. Romans 1:16, we expose in this word.
First we bring them in, then we sit them down. Then we build them up, and then we send them out. We living on the edge, we living on the edge. We living on the edge, yeah, we living on the edge. Cause first we bring them in, then we sit them down. Then we build them up, and then we send them out. We living on the edge, we living on the edge. We living on the edge, yeah, we living on the edge.
Cause first we bring them in, then we sit them down. Then we build them up, and then we send them out. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge. We're living on the edge, we're living on the edge. Y'all, we're living on the edge.
All right. All right, so we're going to give the edge a chance to get out there to the table. Y'all can head on out now, and Thank you again for being here to lead us in worship. Thank you all for participating. See you next week. Pick up some CDs and sign up for a life group.
I am the crisis.